on us and whatever. She wants a braid. Okay, so we'll wait. Let's get a braid after this. Yeah, so just real quick, so we're just honored to be here, honestly, just to be among you guys. We love Jeff and Autumn and have gotten to know some of your leaders and just really are grateful for a place like this in the Midwest, in South Dakota, that is reaching for God. So we're so provoked by you guys, honestly. A couple of things that we're passionate about that we do in Kansas City, just so you have an idea, like, who are they? What do they do again? So just have a grid. Number one, we're obviously a 24/7 house of prayer. So that's our full-time occupation, is to be intercessors. We're deeply connected with YWAM, EHC. And so we pray for all their missions and all their, so we're like the strategic partner for these missions organizations. So that's our, we believe everything flows from the place of prayer. Okay. So that's what the Lord called us to do. We're doing it. It's definitely not an easy job, let me tell you. But that's what the Lord called us to do. Secondly, we're called to raise up young leaders who love Jesus, love prayer, love the Bible, love the nations, and to send them out. And so we have a Bible school and a music school, and so we're involved in the Bible school and the leadership team. And we come alive investing in the next generation of leaders. And so that's our heartbeat. I mean, our house is a revolving door, kind of like the Gross House reminded me of that. There's always people coming and going. You have never idea who's who, but they're always coming and going. That's kind of what our home is like. It's just people that we love on and raise up as the young leaders for our next generation. So we all know we need leaders in our generation that love the Bible, love Jesus, and love prayer. And so that's who we are, that's what we're doing, and that's what you guys are investing in as you're partnering with us as a church. I know some of you, this is the first time seeing us, and you're like, wait, we partner with you? Yes, you do, and we're grateful. We're grateful for it. And so we just want to say thank you guys for doing that on a monthly basis as well as having us here this weekend. So anything you want to say, Annie? She's beautiful. That's what I'm saying.
I love him. We are just super, he said this, but we're really honored to be here. We also just fell in love with Jeff and Autumn last year and their beautiful children. And we're so excited about the strategic relationships that the Lord is developing and just the interconnections that God is bringing. And so we just feel honored to get to be a part of you guys. And so we just want to say thank you for having us.
I don't have one for you, honey. Go with mommy, okay? All right, let me get situated here. It's a downside to an iPad. You got to get set up, you know. All right. So, I've been thinking about our time together, and obviously yesterday and today, for the last probably 2 months or so. So I've just been mulling over, Lord, what is it that this church, James River Church in Huron, South Dakota, what do they need to hear? Like, I don't want to just come up with a good sermon because, you know, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what's on your heart. Like, I want to share what's on your mind, on your heart. I want to share it with them. And so yesterday was really a blast, you know, just seeing you guys, whoever was there, just touch the Lord, touch his heart, touch his emotions for you and for others. Who was there again? I'm recognizing some of y'all. I was so blessed by you guys yesterday. That was so fun. And so after yesterday, it was a confirmation for me that I wanted to really share with you guys one of my passions is giving people permission to fall in love with Jesus because of how passionate he is about them. And so I'm just going to dive into this. I'm going to take a sip of my tea here because my throat's a bit rough from yesterday, and then I'll pray and we'll get started. All right. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We acknowledge your ministry. We say that you are the great teacher. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. We thank you that you're here and we love that you're here, but we ask for a greater measure of your ministry. We welcome what you want to do in hearts. It's not about me. This is not about anything I have to say, but Lord, this is about what you want to say to hearts. And Lord, you told me there's hearts here that you want to speak to. Lord, right now that you would open up ears. Lord, you would open up hearts to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Could I get a little more juice on this mic? because I'm like, I'm struggling. That's better. Yeah, that's better. Oh, that's good. That's perfect. Just so I don't have to like go too hard. All right, so I'm actually going to start with a part of my testimony. I was just thinking, man, I think I need to tie in my story a little bit to give them a little bit of background of where I'm coming from. And so I love stories, and I love the story God's written over my life. And so just to give you a little background, I grew up on the mission field. My parents were missionaries for 25 years. So I grew up in the heat of the 80s and 90s missions movement, the church planting movement in Europe. My parents were passionate. They still are to this day, passionate, fiery Jesus lovers. I'm so grateful for them. And but I did grow up in sort of the though it was charismatic, a bit of the legalistic, like, you have these many things you have to accomplish before you're a good Christian. Anyone remember that? Anyone grew up in that a bit? I grew up in that. Okay. I'm glad I'm the only one. But I grew up in a bit of a performance-oriented home. And, you know, and as parents, you want your kids to do well. You want your kids to live a life that's after the Lord and all that. And I appreciate that. But I think I received this image of God that he's trying to get a quota out of me of how much I can do and perform. And so that's just kind of how I grew up. I grew up, how many people did you get saved? How many times did you preach on the street? How many hours you spent in prayer? You know, just the list. And I dreaded the list. I mean, I dreaded the this is what you got to do, Benjamin, to be accepted in the family and to be a pastor's kid and a missionary kid. You know, that's an extra load. Any PKs in the room? Yeah, you know what I mean. So as a PK, you have this load on you that can be sometimes hard. That's hard to bear. And so anyways, I grew up in that environment and I loved a lot of it, didn't like a lot of it. And so when I graduated high school early at 17, I jumped right into ministry at 17 years old, and I joined a ministry down in Florida that doesn't exist anymore. And so I kind of carried this image of God with me of like the hard taskmaster, the one that's just asking and demanding and really wanting me to perform to standard. And so I took that into ministry. And 3.5 years later, guess what happened? I burnt out. I mean, I was done. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm burnt out. I'm angry. There's a lot that went to that story. But the bottom line was I was done. I mean, I was like, I'd lived 17 years under this. And now another 3 years of ministry with that kind of a pressure. Ugh, who wants that? I'm done. And so can I get a little more juice on this? Thanks, man. So I got burnt out. It's a long story. I was engaged. The girl I was engaged to runs off with another guy. I mean, it was just horrible. It was just 2008 was just the roughest year of my life. It was traumatic in many ways because the church I grew up in fell apart. I gave up on ministry. The girl I was engaged to ran off. I mean, it was just the ultimate storm of trials and pain and disappointments and anger and all of that. I mean, it was just horrible. I wish that upon no one. And I'm in that place, 2008, and I'm just confused, mostly confused about myself, about God, of like, what's the point? Like, I gave my whole life into this ministry, into leading, into discipling, into preaching the gospel, and now it's gone, and the girl that I loved is gone, and my family's a mess, like a real mess. My parents are a mess. It was horrible. And so I'm just in this place of complete disillusionment. I was angry at the church. I was angry at my parents. I was angry at everybody that I ever knew because of how they let me down. And so I was in this place of brokenness, real broken. Anyone ever been in a place of brokenness? I mean, like, for real brokenness? Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. For those who haven't experienced that yet, thank God. Like, thank God. It's just, it's hard. I mean, you're done. And I was done. I really was. I was 20, 21 years old. This is 10 years ago. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I tried the ministry thing. I did what my dad did. It didn't work. I'm going to go into business. So I did. I jumped to business school, and I did well, and I had a full scholarship. But I was still so angry. I was just not a good guy to be around because my anger turns into cynicism and I'm really good with words and I tear people down. So it was, I was not a happy person to be around. It was bad. So I'm in that place of anger, cynicism, disillusionment about God, ministry, everything. And so, so my brothers and I, because we've been in ministry our whole lives, we're like, we've been serving the church our whole lives. We're going to do something fun for us. You know, the classic, you know, 20 something thing. And so we're like, we're going to save up a bunch of money and we're going to go on a 3-month road trip and we're going to blow it all. We're just going to have a blast. And so that was our thing. And so sure enough, we work for, you know, a year, we save up a bunch of money and we tell our parents, mom and dad, we're leaving for 3 months. See you at the end of the summer. And so we get in a car, my little VW Jetta, you know, this little blue thing, 2004, VW Jetta, no, 2001, VW Jetta, and we hit the road. And so we're on this road trip. We're having a blast. We're drinking a lot. We're smoking a lot. We're doing a lot of stupid things. And I had this, okay, this is bad. A lot of church folk in here. Anyways, I had this secret bet with my brothers that how many times I could get high for free. That was kind of our joke. Anyways, and so that's kind of the, wow, it's really quiet. Apparently no one's ever done that. Okay, anyways, that was where we're at. So there you go. And I was probably the one that's probably was the most pushing to do whatever it takes to have fun and all that stuff. And so I was just really in a rough spot. So we're on this road trip. It's coming to an end. We had just finished 4 weeks backpacking in the Rocky Mountains, and I'm in and at this lake at the top of the mountains, a glacier lake, and I'm sitting by the lake and I'm reading a book and whatever, and the Lord speaks to me out of nowhere. I mean, it's just bizarre because Him and I are not on good terms. I'm like, you messed up. I'm hurt. You're the bad guy. Stop. Just leave me alone. And so that's my heart condition. And so He starts speaking to me about my wife. It was so weird. Like, Benjamin, I have a woman for you, and she's going to love me with all of her heart, all of her mind, all of her soul. She's going to be in love with me. That's number one. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, like, I'll take note of that, but all right. You know, it was so weird. It was just out of nowhere. He starts talking to me. And so I kind of put that in the back of my mind. So we get out of the mountains and I do the weirdest thing. I call up a girl I was about to date that we said we're going to wait this summer and then we'll date after the summer kind of thing. I call her up and I do the weirdest thing. I call her up and say, her name was, what was her name? Maddie. I said, Maddie, this is a long time ago. Maddie, I'm sorry, I can't date you. She's like, what do you mean you can't date me? Like, you don't love God. And she's like, what? Like, we're smoking pot together. What do you mean love? You don't love God either. Like, I know it sounds weird, but, you know, I can't date you. I just can't. So I remember thinking, looking back now, I'm like, wow, that was a weird move. So that was that. And so I had this moment with the Lord that was kind of bizarre. I didn't know where to put that because I thought He was just upset with me because I'm really messing up more now. I'm just like, whatever, you know. Give me a second here. And so we're coming from we're coming out of the mountains through Denver, spend a couple days in Denver, and then we're on our way back to South Carolina. That's where my parents live. And we happen to come through Kansas City, I-70, right? Just run through. And a friend of mine said, hey, Benjamin, I know, you know, ministry, all that's not so you, but hey, you should check out this place in Kansas City. You know, it's got a prayer room and you should check it out and whatnot. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So we go and my brothers are not as offended as I am. And so they're like, yeah, we got to go. And so we all decide, okay, let's go. Let's spend the night there and see what this place is, you know. So we walk into the room, into the prayer room, and the presence of the Lord was just like a wall. I mean, just boom. I think to myself, wow, I haven't felt this in a long time. I'm angry. I'm offended. But this is the real thing. Like, this is the Lord. Because I grew up with the presence of the Lord. I knew what that was. I was just angry. And so, we're there. We spend the night there. The Lord's touching our hearts. And the next morning, Sunday morning, we stay the night in the prayer room because we're like, we got nowhere to sleep, so we're just going to stay here. So we just camped the prayer room. Don't do that. But they kick you out. But we somehow managed to get away with it. And so so the next morning, this dude gets up on stage at the Sunday morning service. Never heard of him. His name is Mike Biggle or something like that. And starts preaching the Sunday morning service. So I don't know what this place is. And he speaks. He just, you know, if you've ever heard Mike, he's just Roman numeral one, paragraph A. You know, and he's like that. He always does the same thing every time, no matter what. And so he does this thing, and he's speaking on Matthew 22, 37 through 39, the first great commandment. This is your identity. This is your calling to be a lover of God. And if I cry, because it's personal. Anyway, so I remember sitting from the moment that he started talking, it was like these balls of fire hitting my belly. I was like, this is it. Like, I've been missing this my whole life. I've been working hard, doing all the right stuff. I had the right smile. I had the right words. I did everything right. But my heart was just, it was just not good. It was rotten. It was angry. It was sad. It was just broken. And I couldn't figure out why on earth I would feel that way, though, as doing all the right stuff. I was like, I couldn't do the math. But when the Lord starts speaking to me from Matthew 22 through Mr. Bickle, it was like arrows of light were hitting me. Sorry, that's code in charismatic world for stuff started making sense to me. Sorry, I'm using charismatic world stuff. So let me just make it simple. It started making sense. It's like, wow, I missed this whole time. Like, I was leading in ministry at 17 years old. I didn't know this stuff. Like, what did I miss? I really missed the boat. But I was so glad. I was like, my goodness, thank God someone's telling me this. And it was just like wave after wave of the Lord just revealing his love to me and just like, I'm after you. I want you. I love you. And it was just the most disarming thing I could think of because, again, I was not like pursuing God. I was running away from him. And here he is, his kind hand just turning me around like that towards him in the most tender, kind, like what you would have maybe expected of this story is, man, finally the Lord convicted him of not doing pot. And finally the Lord convicted him of not dating around. Finally, he stopped drinking alcohol, right? That's what you would expect, man. The Lord really got him. Yeah. No, not at all. He didn't mention any of that stuff. Later on, I was kind of surprised. Like, wait, why didn't you talk to me about like that? Like, that's really bad. He's like, oh, Benjamin, I know the human heart better than you do. I really do. I know how you're wired. I can tell you what not to do, but it's not going to work. You're going to do it anyways. You really will. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to reveal just a drop of what I feel about you. Just a drop, just one drop, and it'll turn your heart. It really will. And so here I am. So as I was thinking about this morning, there's a number of ways, because 1 John 4:19 says that we love God. Why? Because he loved us first. Now, we heard this one in Sunday school, right? We've heard we love him because he loved us first. I think there's a song by Steve Green by that. You know, anyway, I'm not going to sing it. But, you know, we know the verse. Oh, we love God because he loved us first. And this is love, that he sent his son, that he would die for us. Like, we all know that, right? Okay, good. So, but what you don't know, or what you do know, and the Lord's here to tell you again, is that your love for him is only possible if you know his love for you. And we're not talking like you can tell me all the right answers kind of love. That's not, I don't care about your answers. I care about, do you know the kind of love with which he's pursuing you? Do you actually know it? Or do you just know it in your head? Like your mom told you, your dad told you, the Sunday school teacher told you, okay, I know. Yeah, God loves me. God is love. I know. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you know? Do you actually know? And so there's a couple of ways of going about talking about his love. The first one is his love for us, what I was just kind of alluding to. There's lots of verses I can go to and describe the kind of affections, the kind of love that he has for you right now. I can do a 20 part series on it and never run out of stuff to talk about. So we can go that route. God's passionate pursuit of us. And I love that version. I love discovering, because when Jesus said, as a father's loved me, so I have loved you, abide in my love. You guys know that, John 15:9. Abide in my love isn't just kind of swim in the ocean of love. No, abide in his love is search out his love for you. Actually be a student of how he loves you. So you want to go that route all day long. You want to be a student of how he pursues you and loves you. From the word, from others, like you learn about it and you go deep in it. You want to experience it. So that's one route. The second route, which I'm going to go today, is the affections of the Father for Jesus. I don't know if you've ever spent time going through the Gospels and looking for times when we get a glimpse into the affections of the Father for the Son. That's just the most fascinating study. I remember years ago when the Lord told me, Benjamin, I want you to study the way I love my Son. I was like, really? That's in the Bible? Like, I thought it's all about how God loves me. It's like, no, I love them first. I want you to know how I love Jesus. And so I did it, and I was blown away. I mean, it's all over the place. And I was just like, goodness, I get a window into how the Father and the Son interact. Like, I get a glimpse. And I remember just getting lost in that interchange and that relationship. And then the moment where it all changed was when the Father whispered to my heart saying, Benjamin, the way I interact and love my Son, that's how I love you. And I remember that just, it undid me. Yeah, there you go. Sorry, my grammar. It ruined me. I was like, no, it can't be. So I was like, I need a Bible verse for that. I was like, I need a Bible verse for that. I need to know it's in the Bible. And so sure enough, John 14, you know, my Father has loved you as he's loved me. And then in 15, I have loved you as my Father has loved me. And just, there's so many verses. So I'm like, okay, this is true. It's in the Bible. I'm good. I'm not going to take anyone's word for it unless it's right there. And so I'm a Bible guy. And so I was like, okay, that's there. Lord, can I taste that? Like, I want to get into the torrent, the fiery torrent of love between the Father and the Son. I want to just put my pinky in there. I just want to put my big toe, just touch it just a little bit, just enough for it to rub off, you know, so where I just want to come back and experience what the Father, the Son, the Spirit have experienced for centuries, from millennia, from eternities past. They've been loving each other perfectly. And now we've been invited into that love. Now that should blow your circuit. If that's not blowing your circuit, and I don't know what will, and only the Holy Spirit can blow your circuit, so it's not my job to do that. Anyway, so I just picked some of my favorite moments. I just picked them. It took me an hour. I had to kind of sift through all the passages that are on my mind, and I just picked three or four that are sort of my favorite moments, like that I've studied and just I'm just like totally fascinated with. And I want to share kind of my personal fascination with this relationship, just to tell you that it's there, that it's yours, that you can dig into it, and hopefully get a couple of you so excited you'll actually go for yourself and just dig that well and discover this relationship. All right, so the one that everyone has to know, like if there's none other one, you have to know this one. Matthew 3:16-17. So just if you want to have your Bibles, will you open them up? Whatever works for you. I like it when people see it in their own Bible with their own eyes, because it just helps them to know, okay, it's actually in the Bible. I don't like the preacher says, yeah, the Bible says, you know, give all your money to me. Like, that's like, where is that in the Bible? Like, I like addresses. Like, give me an address. Does it make sense in the context? I'm the critical guy. I'm the critical thinker. Like, no, that's not right. And so I want you to see it in the Bible for yourself. And then throw it out if it's not right, you know? So after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit descending as a dove and resting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, I gotta pause before I get to what he said. So there's only three times in the Gospels that the Father makes an appearance on the scene. It's mostly about Jesus' ministry, what he does, his life, his relationship with his disciples. There's three times Jesus, the Father, shows up. He's like, I'm going to reserve three moments in Jesus' life where I'm going to say something, and I want people to hear it. You know, it's so cool. I love, you got to study those three. They're so cool, and I'm going to give you two of them today. And what I think is so fascinating is when, if you think about God the Father getting to pick whenever moments he wants to speak up, what does he pick? What does he say? He could have said a lot of things. I mean, imagine what God knows about everything. He could have said anything he wanted to say. He has these three moments in the scriptures that he shows up in the Gospels and he says something very interesting. So what does he say? We all know this, but let's slow down a bit. He says, and again, okay, we're going to stop again. Jesus coming out of the water. The heavens are splitting open, whatever that means. I don't know. Don't ask me. The heavens are open, and there's a bunch of people standing around, and all of a sudden, this voice is thundering from heaven. And what does the voice say? I mean, that must have been so terrifying. Someone saw it, or else it wouldn't be here. Or maybe Jesus told them, and I'm guessing other people saw it. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. In whom I'm well pleased. Anyway, so this statement is just powerful. I mean, it's just, we've heard it, again, I always have to remember, a bunch of you have been in the church for like 50 years, you've heard this verse a million times. So you're like, yeah, I know this. No, you don't. Like, sorry. You don't. The Father chose this moment to split the heavens and speak audibly? Like, really? That's crazy. Like, that's just, have you ever heard the audible voice of God, the splitting of the sky, that everybody heard it? I haven't. I mean, maybe you have, and I want to hear the story. It's got to be good. But this doesn't happen often. The Lord chose this moment to declare something over his Son that everybody would know, that he would know without a doubt. Whether it's for Jesus, for the disciples, or for an unbeliever, I don't care who it was for, the Father did it. And I love it about him. He said, this is my beloved Son. I love him. He could have said, this is my loyal servant. He does everything that I ask him to do. That would have been cool. I mean, I would love to hear that at the end of my life. Like, you were a faithful servant. You were faithful. Man, who doesn't want to hear that? I want to hear that over my life. Benjamin, well done, faithful servant. I live for those words to come out of Jesus' mouth. I really do. I live my life that way. But here's the Father splitting the sky in a critical moment of Jesus' ministry at the very beginning, and he utters these words. He said, Jesus, I know you know this, but I love you. Come on. It's just like, wow. And I mean, I don't know. I've not yet gotten a good answer out of Jesus of why this happened or what he felt. I mean, I keep asking him, like, Jesus, what did you feel when the Father said this in front of everybody? It wasn't like this little secret. It was just like, boom, there it was, you know. And I haven't gotten a good answer out of it. So if you've got an answer on why the Father did this, I'll love to hear it. I'm just reaching for, Lord, why? Why would you do this? Now, one guess that I do have is he wants us to know how Jesus and the Father relate and how the ministry of Jesus is set upon the foundation of love. Like, the Father is just proud of him. He just loves him. So some of you haven't heard that in a long time from your own fathers. Or maybe you never heard it. Maybe you don't have a father that ever said that to you. Maybe you have a father who said it because it's the thing to say, but he never showed it with his life. So I want to beckon you guys in to the story and say, when was the last time the Father thundered that over your life? When was the last time you heard for your own self, not audibly, but in your heart, you knew that you knew that you knew the Father is well pleased with me? When was the last time? Was it this morning? Was it 20 years ago? Was it never? Have you ever heard that? When the Lord speaks this over you, you know you heard it. When the Lord speaks over you, Benjamin, you are my beloved one. I love you. I love you. Like when you hear those words, it breaks all the walls down. I mean, everything that you thought you were living for and performing for, the Lord can disarm that with one word. I think my opinion is, and a lot of preachers are bold on this, but I think the Lord, and I'm not bold on it because it's not there, but I think the Lord wanted Jesus to know that whatever the ministry that he was going to do looks like, he was proud of him. He loved him. It was not, anything he could do wasn't determining his love for Jesus. So that's one option. Option number two is the Father, and I like this one too. So again, hypothesis here. But what if the Father was watching Jesus serve faithfully his mom and his siblings and never telling them he was God? I mean, that's hard to do. If I was the richest man in the world, I'd let you know every once in a while. I mean, I would just tell you because it's cool. And so Jesus never let anyone know. So what if Jesus was just serving and loving and caring for his family? Then his dad dies, right? We all know that there's no dad in the picture when he shows up on the ministry scene. So he must have died at some point in the game. So Jesus stepped up at the firstborn and he had to take on a role to serve the family and provide. And so maybe the Father saw the little movements of Jesus' heart and he saw him serve day after day, love, serve, obey, love, serve, obey. No one knew who he was. And now the Father's like, oh, I love you. You're my favorite. I love you. I don't know, whichever the hypothesis is of why the Father said it, I know that he said it, and I know that you and I, we must hear these words. This is what defines us. If you don't know these words for yourself, then you've got head knowledge at best, and you're living out of head knowledge and not heart knowledge. I want you guys, I want every believer on the planet to experience that kind of a love. So, Matthew 17:5, the second time the Father speaks. Again, the Father could have picked any moment in Jesus' ministry, but he picked this one. So Matthew 17:5. So Jesus, we have right before that, chapter 16, the famous moment of Peter's highlight in his ministry. He knew, he understood, he had revelation. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. Yay, Peter, but don't die for us. Like, I need you around. So Peter really messes up, and I love him for it because he makes him normal like us. And then Jesus decides, okay, this is the moment. Like, I have done my job that they realize the leader of the pack, Peter, he gets who I am to a degree. Okay, now I want to show them a little bit of my glory. So they go up on the mountain. Jesus turns up the dial, and Jesus just blows their circuits. I talked about this yesterday. That was so fun. So I'm not going to go into that. Jesus blows their circuits with his glory. And Peter doesn't know what to do. I love Peter's so funny. Like, he's like, oh, let's build tents. Let's do stuff. And Jesus is like, no, you missed it. And so I love right after Peter says that, the Father comes in. And what does the Father choose to say? Similar words to the baptism, but he adds one thing. He says, this is my beloved son. He says it again. Like, wait, did Jesus need to hear it again? Wasn't he confident in his love? Why did the Father say this? Like, I've wondered this for a while. Like, why? Like, didn't Jesus know? With whom I'm well pleased. And then the Father he rebukes the disciples and he gives them an instruction. He says, listen to him. I mean, Peter must have remembered that moment forever. I mean, besides the betrayal, besides him really messing up and denying Jesus, that's bad. He remembered that one for sure. But then this moment must have stuck in Peter's mind. You love your son. So much so that you wanted me to know it and you came audibly to tell me. I mean, that just must have ruined Peter and just left them reeling for years. He must have been like, I heard, and Jesus is like, hey guys, don't tell anyone until I'm up. I don't want you guys bragging that you heard my Father speak about me. This is really intimate stuff. My glory, I want to keep it veiled until I'm up and until I'm ascending. Then you can tell everybody. But until then, I don't want you telling anyone. I don't know why exactly. I have some thoughts. But the point is, Jesus wanted, and the Father wanted his disciples to know this. Why? Why did he want them to know this? That I've won. Have you ever wondered that? I wonder that. Like, why? 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 I think the Father wanted them to know the kind of love that he has for his son. I love this. This is so, like, what every child needs is to hear from their father, I love you. Not like, oh, you did everything right, and now I love you. No, I love you. You can mess up. You can screw up. You can say whatever you want to do. I love you. I'm for you. And so there may be some of us here that maybe have a dad that did that. Some of us maybe didn't have a dad that did that. Maybe some of us wish our dad told us just that he was proud of us. Just once. Oh, that you just would tell me that you love me and you'd show me with your actions, right? I wish I heard that when I was a kid. I know my dad said it, but I wish I heard it more. And here's the good news. We're being invited into a relationship where you get to hear it if you want to. You get to hear it from the Father. You get to hear it. The Father, everyone has father wounds in this room. You know what the cure is? I'll give you your inner healing course right now. Okay, in one word, let him tell you, I love you. That's it. Let him tell you, I'm well pleased with you. Oh yeah, you messed up 5 minutes ago. I love you. Come back. Come here. You may have an absent father, but you have a father who will say this over you if you'll listen. If you'll just slow down enough to catch the torrent of love between the Father and the Son, if you'll just go in there with one step, Father, is it true? Is it really true? The same love is mine? Can I experience this, Father? Will you let me feel this? My dad was harsh. My dad was angry. My dad was absent. Show me that you're different. Prove it to me. The Lord likes that kind of stuff. He's not afraid of your challenges. He's not afraid of your offense. Goodness, I was the most offended there was. What did he do? He knew he could see through all my smoke screens, through all my offense, and he goes straight for the heart. That's what he does. That's the kind of love we have access to. The question is, are you audacious enough to ask him? Or are you so hurt by your earthly father that you're not even willing to give him a chance to tell you these words? Let him tell you these words. I tell you, it will solve a million problems. It doesn't undo your dad's mess, by the way, but it will heal your heart. Okay, I'll give you one last example. I have like a bunch here. I'm just picking one. I'm going to pick one. I love this one. John 11, 41 through 42. Just go there. You've got to see this in the Bible. This is so cool. And yes, I'm a Bible nerd. I love the Bible, so everything's cool for me in the Bible. Okay, so John 11, 41 through 42. So real quick on the story, you guys know this. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, the three siblings, they're close to Jesus, they're good friends. Jesus hears, hey, Lazarus is dying. You should go and save the guy. Aren't you like his friend? Jesus is like, yeah, I love him. He's going to die. What? Yeah, we're going to wait. He's going to die. Why? Well, the glory of God. Yeah, it's going to show up. The Lord's going to show up. And so everyone's just like, what? You're not going to save your friend? Like, what kind of friend are you? Anyways, they don't get it. He shows up. We all know the story. Martha comes out. Jesus, if you were just here, you wouldn't have died. He's like, don't you know that? Don't you know who I am? She said, yeah, you're the resurrection of life. Like, but man, if you've just been here. She's like, no. And so anyways, she tells Mary, Mary, you've got an in with Jesus. You should go and get him to like do something. Like, why did he not show up? So she sends Mary, and Mary is just heartbroken. She's like, Jesus. She had this thing with Jesus. I'm not going to get into that, but she got Jesus to weep. I mean, if you're close enough with Jesus to get him to weep, I'm telling you, you've got a friendship with him. If you've ever seen Jesus weep, it's beautiful. And so, anyway, so we get to the story. Jesus kind of rebukes everybody, and then he gets to the moment where he's like, okay, now comes the moment when I want everyone to see who the Father is, who I am to him. I want them to see the relationship I have with the Father, that he sent me, that I'm the Son, that I'm the Messiah. I'm saving this moment to leave no doubt in their mind who I am. So, before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, he says something really interesting, 41, 42. So he asked him, hey, remove the stone. So they remove the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, he looked up to the Father, and he said these words, Father, thank you that you've heard me. Like, wait, you've heard me? Like, you've already prayed for him? So I don't get that. Father, you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing here, standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you've sent me. I love that he qualifies why he's saying it. Finally, we get a glimpse. Like, we don't know why the Father spoke and all that. But finally, we know why Jesus out loud talks to the Father for everybody to hear. Like, I just love this scene. Imagine, okay, slow down for a minute. We're so familiar again. Slow down for a minute. Imagine you're there. Imagine you're there, and you're just a dude, a dork from Dorktown like me, and you're just there. And all of a sudden, you see God talking to God. I mean, I can't imagine what that must have been like, seeing Jesus talking to his Father. And guess what? Jesus doesn't have any father wounds. I mean, none. He's like so confident in his Father and the love the Father has for him. So confident, he's willing just to say it out loud, Father, I know that you heard me. And here's the part that I love. And I know you always hear me. I mean, I know I can't really, I know that he always hears me. I think I know that. I think I want this truth more now that I'm talking about it. But Jesus was so convinced. He knew the Father heard him. And he wanted the ones around him to hear it as well. He wanted them to hear the kind of relationship he had with the Father. Now, I think of my daughter, and I think, man, sometimes I think she doesn't know that I hear her. Because she's like, Daddy, Daddy, I need to go pee. I'm like doing something. Daddy, I need to go pee. And I'm like doing something. Daddy, I need to go pee. Because she's about to pee her pants. You know, she's potty trained. And so she's like, you know, I may not always hear her, right? The first time, the first moment. And then eventually, okay, don't pee in your pants. Let's go, you know. So our earthly fathers are not great at listening to us. And I'm the worst of them. You know, I was like, okay, yeah, you have to pee. Oh, good. We have to pee? No, let's go. Earthly fathers are not great at hearing. And here's what I want to point out as well. The fact that the Father hears Jesus always isn't like, oh, isn't the Father good at listening? No, it describes their relationship. It describes the kind of conversation they have. It describes that there's an unbroken fellowship that's been going on, and Jesus just wants to let him know, yeah, we're always talking. We're always talking. Did you know that? And we're always talking. Yeah, I want you to know. I want you to believe that we're always talking. I mean, that's just so cool. Because me and my daughter, I'm not great at listening. That Jesus is giving us insight, saying, guess what? Your earthly father may straight up suck. He may actually not be good. Sorry, can you say that in church? I don't know. He just stinks. He just does. Your early father stinks. But guess what? You have access to a father. He'll always hear you. Do you actually believe that? Because if I did, I'd be talking to him a lot more. Because the reason we don't talk to him is because we're like, yeah, he's too busy. He's a middle-class father that's half broke with too many kids. He's way in over his head. We don't actually believe he's listening. And we don't actually believe he cares. So Jesus is giving us a glimpse, just like a little one-sentence window, like poof. Wow, they're always talking. The Father always hears him. There's confidence in the relationship, and I don't have it. I want that. That's what it makes. That's what stirs up in me. I don't know what it stirs up in you. You're like, oh, that's a cool fact. What it stirs up in me is if Jesus and the Father had that, I want it. I want that kind of friendship. I don't have it right now. I want it more. I want to be able to say, oh, Father, you always hear me. Like, I want to be able to say that with utter confidence in my relationship with him. And guess what? We've got an invitation to have it. And it's up to you to say, I want it or not. The Lord will not force it on you, but you have access to it, okay? So let's talk about what Jesus asked the Father for you and me. Okay, now we're talking about their relationship. Oh, isn't that nice? Okay, now let's bring it down to a prayer that Jesus prayed for you and me. You ready? You want to hear what Jesus is praying for you all the time, what he's thinking about, what's on his mind? You want to know? You ever wanted to know what is Jesus? Like, he's talking to the Father about me. I want to know what he's talking about. Like, you know, anyone ever have kids that just like, were like, you're talking about how it was a rough day with Joe and, you know, man, okay, he needs to be under, you know, he needs to stay at home. He's, you know, he can't have any friends over for a week. He's really messed up. And you're like talking and they're like at the door, like listening, you know, Joey, we're not talking about you. Yes, you were. I'm just staying home. And we have kids that are like sneaking around trying to hear what you're saying, you know, like I'm a PK. And so I always sneaking around. What's the latest in the church? You know, whoa, that person messed up. You know, I always heard my parents. But if someone's talking about you, you want to hear, right? You want to know what are they saying? Like, oh, they're talking about me. I heard my name. Oh, I'm there. Whoa, they don't like me? They don't like my shirt today? Gosh, they like me. Oh, I knew it. I've got a chance to be friends with them. They like me. You know, we're like that. We're wired that way. We want to be loved and liked. And want to know what people are thinking about us. That's how it is. Now, here's a chance for you to slow down and hear what the Father and the Son are talking about. Like, it's a prayer. It's just their conversation. He's asking him for stuff. That makes it sort of prayer, intercession-esque. But it's just a conversation. So here we are, Jesus talking. Chapter 17 is sort of the wow, we get to have a full-on conversation between Father God and Father Son. I mean, just amazing. We're just getting this glimpse for, you know, 26 verses. You're getting to see the kind of conversations they have. And it ain't about, man, the weather's good today. Good job on the sun, God. It's like, this is what I want to talk about. And the cool thing is, he wanted his disciples to hear it. Again, Jesus' way of wanting us to be in on the conversation. Because he could have prayed this and we would have never known about it. And it was just like, okay, I don't know what you're praying for, but I believe it's good. No, he's like, I want my disciples to hear what I'm praying for them so they'll pray it and so they'll believe it. That's the two things. I want them believing it, and I want them praying it, and I want them experiencing it. And so here we are in John 17, 25 to 26. Okay, I'll go to John. I can't not do John 17, 24. Okay, it's in my head. He said, obviously, long prayer. He goes on, John 17, 24. He says, Father, I desire that they who you've given me will be with me where I am, and they will behold my glory. I mean, that verse, I left it out, but I got to say it. Jesus prayed for you. He prayed. He prays for you that you would see his beauty and his glory. I think a part of his glory is the kind of friendship he has with his Father. That's a part of his glory. It's so much to his glory. It's his name, it's his nature, it's his characters, his actions, it's his words, his relationships. It's all a part of his glory. His glory is everything that's awesome about him. That's his glory. Okay, it's a lot of things. So his glory, he wants us to see his glory. So one of the aspects of his glory, like I said, is his relationship with his Father. Okay? I want them to see my glory. I want them with me where I am. And then he says in 25, read with me here, 17:25. I'm going to take a sip of water. I know I'm leaving you hanging. This is so good. There's got to be like a, there's got to be a Bill Johnson pause. Okay, anyways, no one that knows Bill Johnson, it's not funny, but. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them. Now, what does this mean, I've made your name known to them? It's not like he was walking around telling them, oh, this is the name of the Father. So his name is Father. His name is Adonai. Like, he wasn't doing that. He was like, I've shown them who you are, and I've shown them how you relate to me. They know who you are and what kind of Father you are. They know. I've made it known to them. Okay? That's what it means, make known. And I've made your name known to them, and I'll make it known. Meaning, there's a future fulfillment of this prayer. Like, I've done it, but I'm going to continue to make yourself known to them. Make yourself known to them. And then he says, so that the love with which you have loved me. Here it is. It's in the Bible. Read it for yourself. Are you ready for it? So the same love with which you love me would be in them. And I would be in them. What an outrageous prayer. So we've been witnessing this relationship between Father and Son. It's just so out there. It's just too good to be true. It's so tender, loving, unconditional. No matter what you do, I'm for you. I'm with you. And now he's like, Father, I've got one last request before I go to that cross and die for them. I've got a prayer for you, Father. I want Autumn. I want Moses. I want them to know the same love the Father has. You have for me. I want that love to be in them. Not any kind of love, not just feel-good love. The kind of relationship we have, I want them to have it too, Father. That's my request. Over and out. Like, that's it. He's like, I'm going to the cross now. That was it. That's how it ended. He goes, and then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's betrayed. He goes to the cross. He dies for you. His last words before he goes to the cross are asking for something radical. And this prayer is still echoing in the courts of heaven now. Imagine the resonance of the Father and the Son in this conversation. The prayer of Jesus hasn't stopped. It's still going on. He's praying right now, Father, I ask for Malachi. I ask for Hannah. I ask for Autumn. God, I ask you that you would put the love that you love me with. Father, the love that we have, I ask that you would put it in them. Amen. Let them know it. Not just in your head. Not like, oh, I know that now. Good. No. Get in the torrent. Get in the Niagara Falls. Ever seen the Niagara Falls? Anyone ever seen the Niagara Falls? They're intense. I mean, there's like millions of gallons of water just, I mean, just, it's just intimidating. I mean, it's just huge and violent. It's awesome. I love the Niagara Falls. And the Lord's saying, I want them to take a good gulp of that waterfall that's running between us. I want them to get caught up in it and never leave. That's what I want. There's one thing I want, Father, out of this whole thing. I want people to know this experientially. I want them to experience what we have. So that's the invitation today. That's his prayer for you today. The question is, do you want it to be answered? Or are you okay with saying, you know what? I'm offended. I'm okay right over here. You stay right over there, Father. I'm glad you love his Son so much. He died for me. I'm righteous now. Or he's saying, no, I am angry. I am hurt. I am offended. And I need a freaking Father. I need a Father. Sorry. I'm a millennial, so we say stuff. I need a Father. I need a Father who will love me the way he loves his Son. I need this. I need it. So let's stand. Let's stand. Let's ask the Lord. So, Father, here we are. Here we are, Father. We're saying we're no longer orphans, but we've been brought into the family. You predestined us as sons. You've given us the witness in our spirit. You sealed us with the Holy Spirit who bears witness that we are sons. He cries out with our spirit, Abba, Father. So thank you for the witness that we're sons. Thank you that we're daughters. We're in the family. We're grateful, Father. But now, God, we join with the eternal echoing prayer of your Son that is resonating in the courts of heaven. The Father's eager to answer. Father, let the same love with which you have loved your Son, let the love be in us. Let us know it. Let us experience it. Let us be lost in it. God, I ask you right now that you would heal hearts today. God, I ask that you would heal hearts. Father, I ask that you would bind up the brokenhearted. Lord, you would deliver hearts that are bound by fear, that are bound by insecurity, that are bound by shame, that are bound by oppression and depression. I'm going to ask you with one word of your mouth, you would come and you would shatter the lies of the enemy. You would come with a torrent of your love and you would break down our walls of self-protection, of self-preservation, of pride. I'm going to ask right now that you would come with your love. Just put your hand on your heart if you want this kind of love. If you want this, may not happen right now, but if you ask him for it, he'll give it to you. Put your hand on your heart if you want. If you don't want it, that's great. But if you want it, put your hand on your heart. Everyone, let's close your eyes. Let's focus on the Lord. Say, Father, I want to know this love. I have to know this love. And just talk to the Lord on your own. Whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, whatever touched you from these passages, from these chapters in the Bible, just ask him, just talk to him, just say, Lord, I want this. Have a heart exchange with him. Just talk to him, just take a moment. He wants to talk to you. He likes you. He loves you. He wants to have a conversation. He's not angry right now. You're here, which means you want him too. Father, come. By your Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you to be that seal of love on our hearts. The kind of love that is stronger than the grave. The kind of love that no waters can quench. Put the seal of love on our hearts today. Catch us up in your story. Catch us up in your love. Catch us up in the torrent of the love of the Father for the Son. You prayed for it, Jesus. You ask for it, Jesus, and we want it. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come right now. We invite your presence. We invite your nearness. We invite the love of the Father. We say we need it. We need that kind of love in our lives. Just stay with it for a moment. If there's anyone that's saying, man, I want someone to pray with me. I don't even know how to pray. I want someone to pray with me and pray with me that I would know this love. If there's anyone that has a special, that wants people to get around them and pray for them, just raise your hand. I want some people to pray for you. Okay, we got one up here. We got a gentleman over there in the red shirt. And a lady over here. Just gather around them. If you see a hand raised, just get around them if they're close. Let's get two or three people on this gentleman. Another lady on Rose. Is that all right, Rose? Let's get a few people praying for Rose. And let's just ask the Lord to meet them. Let's ask the Lord to meet them right now. So, Father, we ask right now that you would come. Holy Spirit, you would do what only you can do. You would convince our hearts of your love. You would convince our hearts that Jesus has prayed this for us. So, come. come with your fire. Come with your love. Come with the torrent of your love. The waves. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, right now we ask. There's some of you in here that are wishing this could be true. The Lord's saying to you, you don't have to wish. Your dad may be messed up, but I'm not. I want you to know me. I want you to know my love. It's my invitation to you. Are you willing to accept the invitation? So Lord, right now I ask that you would touch hearts. You would make yourself known the way only you can. Father, we ask right now, come with your all-encompassing love and touch hearts. Mark hearts with your love. Mark us, Father. Mark hearts today, Lord. Mark hearts, Lord, I ask you, convince us. Convince us of your love. Convince us of your love. We should fire on hearts right now. Fire of your spirit. We should fire of your spirit right now. The seal of fire on hearts. The seal of love on hearts. If you're not getting prayed for, just engage with the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Let's not check out. It's not lunchtime just yet. Let's talk to Jesus. Let's talk to him.
So, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
We believe it, Lord. God, we thank you that we are loved by God. While we were still sinners, you loved us. How much more are you enjoying us now that we're turning from our sins and seeking you with all of our hearts? God, we love you back. We return it back to you. We love you back with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what we're going to do. If God's touching you, just feel free to keep enjoying God and keep praying. But what we want to do is we want to take up an offering for Benjamin and Hannah. And we just appreciate them coming all the way up here and just taking the time this weekend to serve us and minister to us.